What is up, everyone, and welcome back to another Ref6 podcast. We've had loads of DMs on Twitter and Instagram to bring back the podcast, so we're back, and what better way to start with an off-season podcast? So in this podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about all the things that to do with off-season, how we chill out, what we do, we go on holiday, do we just continue refereeing? Those are the questions we're going to answer. What kind of training do we do? When do we go back for pre-season, as well as the fitness tests as well? But we're going to do a new section in this podcast today, and I'm going to let Durso introduce it.
So we're just going to get your minds going, and I'm just going to pose a few laws of the game questions for you. We'll give you the answers towards the end of the episode of the pod, and obviously just have a think about your answers in between and see what you come up with. See if you get them right. Let us know in the comments.
Perfect. Far away, Durso.
Brilliant. So the first one is the goalkeeper hangs onto the crossbar and touches the ball and he prevents a goal from being scored. What is the correct decision? The second question is play is restarted with a drop ball for team A. After the ball has touched the ground, an opposing team player from team B has remained more than 4 metres away, comes up and plays the ball first. What is the correct decision? And the third and final question for this episode is a player has accidentally lost a shoe or a boot during the match. As the ball is in play and the player's team is attacking, the player remains on the field. He gets the ball and makes a pass to a teammate who scores. What is the referee's decision? So those are your three law questions. And as I say, we'll go through the answers towards the end of the pod.
Amazing. So my first question, introducing the pod, my first question is, do referees have an off-season?
The short answer, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. In terms of the off-season, we might have a bit of time where we maybe train a little bit less. We give ourselves a bit of time to relax. But realistically, it's a 365-day-a-year job. And no, we don't really have an off-season as such. We might label it as an off-season, but we never really stop working, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree. I think the word off-season to me is very much, do I referee in that period? No, that would be the off-season. So I break it down into two before the season starts, and I don't know how you do it. So my off-season is between now, which was the last game of the season. You know, last week we did the end of season review, which was roughly our last games. So that was the fourth official for me. That's when my off-season starts, the day after that. Yep. So that's Sunday. And then it goes all the way until the day I pass the fitness test. So we have the fitness test coming up on the 18th of June.
18th of June, yeah.
18th of June, so a couple of weeks. And then the day after the fitness test is done is when pre-season begins.
Yeah.
That's my
the transition
yeah.
between off-season, so, off-season and pre-season.
So what's that? 6 weeks?
Possibly maybe less. Maybe
yeah, five weeks. So that's my off-season. In terms of periods, that's how I'd declare it. I know there's a lot of tournaments and stuff, but I tend to stay very much away from refereeing in that period. I don't know, what about yourself?
Yeah, you speak about tournaments. I personally haven't really done a summer kind of refereeing tournament for quite a long time. The last one I actually worked was actually not even in the capacity as a referee. It was actually more with helping the organisation and running of the tournament. So yeah, I haven't really done anything like that for a long time. And I mean, I think according to FA rules, you're not actually allowed to play pre-season friendlies during the month of June anyway.
Oh, really?
Clubs are not allowed to do that. So obviously, as referees, we wouldn't have any games to
referee. Unless there are like charity games.
Yeah, I think charity games are allowed, but actual proper friendlies or pre-seasons or non-competitive fixtures aren't actually allowed, unless they're charity fixtures, I suppose.
Interesting.
Obviously, you might have 5-a-side or 6-a-side where some referees are still involved, but same as yourself, not really involved in actively refereeing anything in any capacity until after that last game through to pre-season, which we'll cover another time.
Another pod, yeah, that will be another pod. My big question is, and I'm sure a lot of people listening as well, like, you know, we spend 9 months thinking about football, living and breathing. How do you switch off? Like, do you have any techniques? Do you have any hobbies? Obviously not, you're a referee, that is your hobby. But do you have any ways that you switch off during the season, in off-season?
Obviously taking a holiday, going away is always the number one kind of easiest answer to that, I suppose.
Have you been on any this year?
So lucky enough to go to Skiathos in Greece. So that was very enjoyable for my sister's wedding. And it was a great week away, just relaxing and just chilling out in the sun. So much needed. Did manage to go out for one run while I was there. Just
so still training.
Just to keep ticking over. I wanted to go at least twice, but realistically, the vibe of being on holiday was, the run was not in keeping with that. So just the one time.
No, nice, yeah. Anything else that you do?
I think just not thinking about football at all for a period of time, for at least maybe a week or two, giving myself some time just to not have any football involvement whatsoever. Still training, still trying to keep fit, but maybe not quite as often as I would normally train. Like obviously, it's not a regime that I would follow during like a week's training with games in between, in terms of specifically designed like a training plan around the fixtures that I've got. So yeah, just still training, but switching off and just spending extra time with friends and family that I don't sometimes get to do during the season. Obviously, we both work full time Monday to Friday during the week, and our weekends are then dominated by football. So I think it's really important for us to spend the off-season time with friends and family.
Yeah, yeah.
We might not be able to see as often as we would do kind of August all the way through to April and May.
Yeah, no, that's a good point as well. I'm slightly different in terms of I find the off season is the time for me to really train. The benefits of like training in the off season with no games to prepare for, I can train heavier squats, lift heavier, you know, really develop my power and speed that I'll need.
You don't have to worry about that fatigue that you
coming into match day. I don't have to peak every Saturday. I can like batter my legs basically and then go again. Work on more speed, power, squatting heavier, deadlifting more. To build power going into the season, so I'm coming into pre-season probably fitter than I was last year in terms of more speed and power, in terms of training, that is. But switching off wise, well, I'm sure we're going to training a little bit more. I've been to Denmark and I've been to Munich, so I've been away, which has been nice. No training out there. I go to a lot of concerts. I go to see a lot of live music. That seems to be my switch off. I seem to enjoy that a lot more. It really takes my mind off football and golf.
We try to play golf.
Yeah, we'll have to do a pod on the course. There'll be a lot of profanities there. So yeah, they're the kind of things that I tend to do. I try and avoid football like the plague. Like I don't even remember watching the last two or three rounds of the Premier League, just because I didn't want to do anything to do with it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's nice to have that mental reset and not think about football as well, because in general, not just our own, but I guess like every other referee, we referee every game that we watch, whether that's a Premier League game, a Championship fixture or anything else that might be on TV. It's nice to actually have a couple of days where it's like, oh, there's no football on. And you get towards the end of the season and you've got your own games going on, but then you've got every night, it seems like there's a game on TV.
Yeah.
Towards the climax of the season when you've got the playoffs going on and everything like that. So definitely staying away from football completely sometimes is quite nice as well to have that reset.
Yeah, it's also a bit of a weird time as well because a lot goes on. We've got promotions. Unfortunately, there are demotions as well.
Reclassifications.
I know that's what they're supposed to be called, but that's what it is. So there's always admin to do in the off-season. So it doesn't. Sometimes it is quite difficult to switch off as well. And there's obviously things like the ERDP, which I don't know if anybody knows, which is the Elite Refereeing Development Performance Programme or something along those lines.
Pathway,
which is a new thing that the FA have brought out. Do you know more about it? Because I know not a lot about it.
It's just I don't really know too much about it.
It's like a fast track, it seems.
Yeah, it's just to try and encourage people who want to make a career out of refereeing be able to put themselves in the best position possible to do that. And it's not to say that people who are outside of that don't have the same opportunities, but you have to show a certain level of commitment and meet certain criteria in order to apply for something like that, if that's something that you want to do. So there's always things like that, like in terms of assessments for that, and there's also obviously fitness tests and things like that to prepare for.
Yeah, well, we'll get involved in them in a minute, because that's obviously a hot topic right now, fitness tests, because do you train for the fitness test or do you not? But we'll get into that in a bit. So training during the off-season, I know we dabbled about it a little bit, but, you know, what is your plan? Are you preparing for something, i.e. fitness test, or are you just ticking over until the season starts and you go into pre-season and then start the real running?
I think there's always got to be an element of preparing for the fitness test, because you've got to do at least a couple of mock sessions. The good thing is that the FA do send out some training plans for that, so you can do some build-up sessions to it, especially if you've had a few weeks off. You obviously don't want to go straight back into it. You need to build the training back up again.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is go straight in at 100% and potentially risk injury or something like that. So definitely, if after having a bit of time off, you really do want to kind of ease your way back in. But yeah, 100%. You've got to train for the fitness test, I think. Some people, such as yourself, who are maybe... incredibly fit in terms of very look after themselves very well, I think maybe that's, it's just something that naturally comes to you as someone who has an experience of running
anyway. Yeah, yeah.
In terms of athletics kind of background, that's great, but I think for someone who doesn't necessarily have that, someone who really kind of has to work towards training towards a fitness test, it's a really important part of your preparations.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it comes to, like you mentioned, sometimes you might lift heavier or you might lift more often and you haven't got to worry about peaking on Saturday because you haven't got a game. So I'll definitely follow something that's a little bit less structured compared to what I would do in, or not less structured, but structured differently.
Yeah.
To in the season.
You obviously alluded to fitness test and the FA do send around plans to us occasionally, you more than me as a step one assistant. But if you are looking for fitness plans and fitness advice, then I will leave a link in our description to the Ref6 fitness plan, where it has loads of different plans, loads of different programs that you can download for free. So therefore you can get, you know, ready for the fitness test. If you're training for a fitness test or you're training for the off season, you know, we've got all the fitness plans covered for you really. So, you know, download that now. So yeah, right. Big question is the next one is, when do you think pre-season and the off-season starts and finishes? Because I know some people literally just don't get on with it. They're like, yep, game, season finishes, we're into pre-season now, like, rather than an off-season.
I think in some ways, similar to what you outlined earlier, like, for me, I could kind of take the same approach and go along with what you mentioned in terms of off-season is everything building up to the fitness test, and then after the fitness test, that's when your pre-season begins. But maybe for me, after the fitness test, because I'm training for that and I'm putting some effort in to be ready for it,
yeah.
I also want to take my time off after the fitness test, which I think is important to have that reset after that as well. So for me, it would probably be after the fitness test, but maybe a week to 10 days after. Is still off-season period. A week to 2 weeks after the fitness test will be when my kind of pre-season starts. So I've really had that downtime where I will almost do nothing for a period of time to let the body rest and recover, really.
Yeah, I know, that's sensible. Do you do a lot of, like, do you take any massages or, you know, that seems to be, like I said, a hot topic a lot. That's going to be word of the podcast. That seems to be a thing that's coming more and more into, especially our level, and, like, I would recommend anyone doing more than 2 games a week to get one. Like, some of these referees are doing 4 games a week, and, like, I don't know how they do it. But, you know, it's important to get your legs back into the right shape going into the season. Is that something you do a lot?
Yeah, it's actually something I've, for the last 2 seasons, I've actually incorporated a sports massage into my routine. Pay for it out of my own pocket. It's just something that I think is a worthwhile investment. It's, you know, if you find the right place and somewhere that does it well for you, you can do that for less than a full match fee. Obviously depending on the level that you're operating.
If you're doing 4 games a weekend, it's...
Oh, yeah, if you're doing 4 games a weekend, it's going to be a massively worthwhile investment for you, because it's not going to have a massive dent in the money that you've made over the weekend. But I think that's definitely something that I'd recommend to anyone else. I do it once every 5 weeks, I think, is what my massage recommends. And you don't need to do any more than that, because that might just actually be too much on the legs. But yeah, it's definitely something I'd recommend, and it's definitely something that I think has improved... just keeping my legs in the right place and where they need to be for the long season.
Yeah, interesting. Do you miss football?
During the time that it's off, I think I do have some kind of days where I miss football. Miss the routine, but I also appreciate the time off.
Yeah,
because it's not just match day that keeps you busy. It's the training days. It's getting everything ready. It's planning your journeys, it's planning everything else around football, really, because football is such a high priority. So I do miss it, but I also really do enjoy not having to think about it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I am yet to miss it. I think it'll be one of those things, and we'll discuss it in the pre-season pod, that, you know, as soon as we're back, in that first game back, I'll probably be like, oh yeah, I've missed this. But, you know, that is what it is. And a topic we get asked a lot about is the fitness tests. Now, like I said, we're training. Both of us are still training. I know I come from a different background and I put a lot of work in during the season as well to keep me ready. But what are the fitness tests? So there are three fitness tests. And do you know them off by heart?
No, you're testing me now, so you're going to have to enlighten me, I'm afraid.
So there's a level 4 fitness test. There is a level 3 fitness test. And there is a what we would call the SG1 fitness test. Yeah, so level 4 fitness test, they're all the same run, but they're just a little bit faster or a little bit slower.
Depending on the timing.
Yeah, so the level 4 is a 75-meter run and a 25-meter walk, and you have to do, I believe it's the 75 meters in about 25 seconds, 22 seconds.
I thought it was 15 seconds, I think.
Oh, yeah, and then the recovery, yeah, it's like 18 seconds and then 22 seconds recovery,
yeah.
And then it's like... For the level 3, it's like 15 seconds to run 75 meters and a 20-second recovery. 22-second.
22-second.
Yeah, because that's what we're going to run. And then for the SG1 boys which and girls, which is obviously the Premier League and FIFA, it is 15 seconds running, 18 seconds recovery.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there. And you said you're training for it now. We're probably going in about two very separate approaches. What is your way of training for it? Because we've got to run, obviously, the middle one. How are you training for it?
So the training involves building up to doing a full test. So as a mock test, and I'll do a couple of full mock tests ahead of the date. Generally, so I've actually this year, I've decided to follow what the FA have sent out. So with the fact that I went on holiday, taking a bit of time off, calorie intake for various reasons was a little bit higher during that week, obviously. So, like I said before, I don't want to just dive straight back in and just try and do a full-on mock test. So the initial one I did, I think, was kind of a third of the test, and then with a bit of a break, then another third of the test, and then that's the end of the session, and then you kind of build it up from there. So that's been my process in terms of building it up. There's obviously other training around it. So it's not just that I'm doing mock tests or mock build-up tests. I'm doing some work on the treadmill in terms of speed sessions, because part of the, you covered the run that you have to do as part of the fitness tests.
Yeah.
But there's also the sprints that we have to do beforehand. And they're done with timing gates. So there's nowhere to hide, electronically timed.
Yeah.
And we've got to do those obviously in a certain amount of time over a certain distance, and it's a sprint repeatability test, so I think it's four 40-meter sprints in 6.2 seconds or less for level 3s. So there's a bit of sprint training in there as well.
Yeah.
But then also still the weight training and other things like that incorporated into the routine.
Yeah, interesting. So I've gone things almost completely different ways. I hired a sprint coach. So I am maybe a month in with him at the moment, and he is battering me. Proper battering me. But you'll see all of that sort of training in the off-season vlog that's coming, which I'm still filming, because like I said, as soon as I pass the fitness test, that vlog will be out. But yeah, I've been training on like sprinting technique and sprint repeatability, because I feel like I've got the cardio, so I've still had to go for like the occasional 10k run, you know, 5k, 7k, you know, just out steady running with my training partner Red. And then obviously the weights and stuff, I'm lifting heavier, trying to put on a little bit of size. So that perception of when I'm on the pitch is I look a little bit bigger, have a bit of presence, and then a lot of interval training. So I've not actually practiced the fitness test. So what I might do is I might do one session to get the timings right, because that's the only bit, without sounding too arrogant, that's the only bit that worries me, is the timings.
It's the structure of it, and making sure that, because I believe you get one chance of, if you're out of the out of the reps that you do, so it's 40 reps basically, and if you finish too late, you get a warning.
Yeah.
And if on the run, or if you go too early to start the run from the walking bit, you'll get a warning as well. And you only get one warning in total.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
And your second warning essentially is a, it means that you will fail. So it is really important, I think, and that's why for me, a lot of my thought process around the fitness test is actually to do an actual version of it before doing the real thing on the day.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
In my head, I think if as long as I can do it, I know I can actually do
the test. It's a mental game, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And even if I'm a little bit close on some of the timing sometimes, I know that on the day, adrenaline's definitely going to kick in and help as well.
We're also running, we'll probably run as a there's quite a lot of us from Sussex going up, so we'll probably run as a unit and then get each other in. The important thing is, as well, which I don't think is discussed enough, especially when it comes to fitness tests, is because you have to run it on a track, if you run it in different lanes, you run potentially more.
Yep.
So if you, especially around a bend, if you run in lane 3 or 4, you're running about 20 metres more a lap, which will take its toll. So it's always about alternating out, so everyone gets a turn to run on the outside and run and then run on the inside, so that you work as a team as well, which I think is a big team event. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, as John says, you can end up kind of shooting yourself in the foot a bit. If you run every kind of rep in lane 3, you're going to cover actually more distance and you're going to make it harder for yourself. So,
well, it's 200 metres, won't it? 10,
yeah, I mean, I'll be getting in there with my elbows.
Getting
straight into lane 1, so inside lane, right on that white line. But you don't want to make it any more difficult for yourself as it is, because going through this heat wave at the moment as well that we're experiencing.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a hot day for the test as well, so not the easiest.
No, I agree. And one of the things I've done as well about training is I've run at the same time on a Saturday, or at the weekends, I've run the same time the fitness test will be, so I can get a gauge of how hot it's going to be. I've not done the test, but I've done interval training, or I've gone for a 10K run
at the same time.
So at least my body is kind of like, it's going to be this hot.
Yeah, acclimatizing to conditions at that time of day. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Obviously, one of the exciting things that's coming into the off-season that hasn't been announced yet is there is potentially a new FA badge this year. So, and the level 4s are getting kit and level 3s are getting kit. So that's quite exciting for us. So hopefully we can review that. And I don't know what it's going to be, do you?
Not sure. I imagine that the shirt is going to be the current Nike shirt. And I believe it might be a mid-layer that you get as well to warm up in. I think that the FA quite rightly would like us all, as teams of match officials, as teams of 3 or 4, depending on what level you're operating at, or what kind of stage of the season you're at in terms of playoffs, where you always have a 4th official, they would like us all to look the same.
I think that's great.
And it's great. It's all about perception. We talked about perception before, and that is really important. And everyone turning up looking the same does look great for, you know, when you get to the game, and for when you're warming up, and for when you're being out there. So at the end of the day, as much as some teams or some clubs don't necessarily like us to say it, there are more than just 2 teams out there. There is that 3rd team, and we are ultimately a team and working together as match officials. So we might as well all be wearing the same thing, looking more like a team.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I know this might split the room a little bit, but we're going from Vault and Black to Obsidian and Black, or Grey and Black in terms of normal colours.
Yeah.
Trying to be too smart. Thoughts? Did you prefer the black and yellow Vault, or do you prefer what will be grey and black?
I think you and I are going to have differing opinions on this. I prefer to go for the more subtle approach, and I think that the Vault was maybe a little bit too out there. A little bit too much, maybe. And ultimately, whilst referees and match officials do play an important part in the game is not about us. We'd rather not make it about us. We don't want to raise our profiles unnecessarily, and that comes with that the yellow sleeves. Ultimately, you know, we're noticed a lot more easily with that. So I personally think that the grey sleeves is going to be much better than the Vault or the yellow.
Yeah.
Just because it just doesn't really raise that profile as much, and it doesn't draw as much attention. I think it just looks a little bit sleeker. Let the clubs have the bright colours and the fun stuff, and let the referees stick to the standard kind of black, white, grey, and that's absolutely fine by me. But I know that this man's going to disagree with me.
Yes and no. I'm going to disagree with the fact I liked the Vault colour. As in, I train in it, I like it. I think it's a nice kit. The Nike stuff this year has been quite top-notch.
Yeah.
Better than previous years, in my opinion. So I actually like the Vault. I agree with you in terms of grey and black, staying slick, get in, get out is obviously always my approach, get in, get out. And obviously in grey, you could slip into the crowd and disappear into the distance. I just think it's important, and the FA have nailed it this year, is that we're all going to look the same. It doesn't matter what colour it is, to be honest, we're all going to look the same. And I think that, you know, walking in as a team of 3, all looking the same, you're going to instantly go in with confidence, and people are going to be like, yeah, they're here to, you know, rock up and do the job.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I think that's the important thing. It doesn't really matter the colour, but I did like the Vault. So yeah, now we'll start winding down the podcast, because we've talked about everything and nothing. Durso, what give the audience what they want? And that is the Law's answer. So obviously just read the question out and then read the answer. I will not be answering these questions as well, by the way. Durso is just going to read them out because I don't want to make myself look like an idiot on camera.
So the answer to the first question, where the goalkeeper hangs onto the crossbar, touches the ball and prevents a goal from being scored. The correct decision is that the referee will award an indirect free kick for any offence not mentioned in the laws, for which play is stopped to send off the goalkeeper for denying the team a goal. The free kick will be taken from the nearest point on the goal area line, or in old money terms, the 6-yard area line, and that runs parallel, obviously, to the goal line. So if the offence took place kind of towards one of the posts on the goal line, it will be taken closer to one of the posts, but on that 6-yard line, or the goal area line, as it's now called. So a bit of an interesting one, one that probably doesn't come up too often. I tried to pick out a few questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, starting the law questions off with a belter.
Tried to pick out a few questions here where things don't come up very often, because these are the ones that catch us out, and these aren't the straightforward ones that we're always going to get right. And these might happen maybe once a season, maybe once in a career.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's important that we get these right, especially a game-changing decision like this one.
Absolutely. We're all here for learning, like the Ref6 pod.
So on the second one, where play is restarted with the drop ball, I won't go into the question fully because you can jump back in the video and have the whole question if you really want to.
If you're also watching, we'll put a little picture of the screen of the laws of the game as well, so you can have a look at that.
Yeah, and so with regards to the drop ball question, that said, basically the referee will allow play to continue in this situation. It's permitted, as Law 8 actually only requires that all players, except the player for whom the ball is being dropped, remain at least 4 metres from the ball until it's in play, which is when it touches the ground. It doesn't actually have to be played by the player who is receiving the ball from the drop ball to be in play. The ball is in play as soon as it touches the ground.
And the third and final one of today's.
Yeah, so the final one is where the situation in which the player has lost his shoe or boot. And basically, the law says that a player whose footwear is lost accidentally must replace it as soon as possible and no later than when the ball next goes out of play. So in this situation where the ball remains on the field of play and in play, because the player has basically played the ball prior to the ball going out of play, the player who they've played it to scores a goal, that goal is actually still awarded, even though the player who made the pass didn't actually technically have the full correct equipment on at the time.
That's mad.
Yeah, it's another obscure one, and you know, kind of these are the ones that come from the Q&A section of the Laws of the Game app, which everybody can get, or the IFAB app.
Yep.
And I just encourage people to regularly read through them if you've got nothing better to do with your time like me. But yeah, just basically it's really important that obviously we get these things right on the pitch on the day. And having a read through of those regularly, you give yourself a much better chance of doing that.
No, I agree. And, you know, if you're listening or watching along, and there's something that you want us to cover in terms of law questions or scenarios that you've got, a bit like we do with the vlogs, send us them in to obviously DM us at Ref6 on Twitter, Ref6, and Facebook, would you believe it, Ref6, or drop me an email at john@ref6.com. But Durso, thank you for the new season of the Ref6 podcast. It's good to be back. Next time it will be after our first pre-seasons, which I'm quite looking forward to. Are you?
Yeah, not got too many lined up this year. Don't want to burn myself out before the start of what's going to be another long season, but
amen.
Looking forward to getting going again.
Good, right. So next time we talk, we'll have passed the fitness test. Fingers crossed, everything will be fine. And then we'll be talking about pre-season. So thanks very much for watching this weekly vlog. Please like and subscribe, and we will see you at the next Ref6 podcast.